Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, you deadly mob. Welcome back to Yarny Circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, and I'm live here from the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Island radio station, and that is BBM Bummer Bip Media 98.7 FM. We're here for your daily program, National Talk Black. You can have your say by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, a voice for our people, so do add to the conversation. Yarn up strong. Yes, we are. I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from, and to all our traditional owners across the daily country of ours. Welcome back to National Talk Black. Otherwise, you can text us 045-714-0550 here on the National Talk Black program. Now, Reef Group welcomes our Premier's stance on power station. Premier Anastasia Palaszczuk is absolutely right to question the impacts of a coal-fired power station on the Great Barrier Reef. And the Reef Group that I'm talking about is AMPS, and that's the Australian Marine Corporation Conservation Society. And we're going to catch up over yarn now with Shani Tager, and she's the spokesperson for Australian Marine Conservation Society, Great Barrier Reef. On the line, Shani, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Trevor. I'm well, thanks. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling in from Sydney, which is the land of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation down here.
Beautiful, and big shout out to the mob as well. Thank you for acknowledging the mob down there. And look, great to have you on the program. And it's the largest living thing on planet Earth. And we're talking about the Great Barrier Reef, and we need to protect it. And having a so-called power station on that site, not a good idea.
That's right. I mean, it's an incredible ecosystem, right? Anyone who's been out on the water there would know all the turtles and the fish and the dugongs. It's just a wonderful place, and we're so lucky that we've got it here right off the coast from Queensland. And, I think putting a power station right next to it's a really bad idea for the pollution that it causes and the impact that it'll have. We're seeing what's happening with climate change already, and that's just going to get worse if we keep doing things like that.
Yeah, for sure. So is there talk about it? Is it a decision been made? It looks like the Premier of the state, Anastasia Palaszczuk, is putting a stop to it, or pushing to put a stop to it.
Yeah, that's right. And we really welcome that. We think it's a bad idea for a whole bunch of reasons. But unfortunately, the federal government down in Canberra have other ideas, and they're putting some money into it. So they're pushing it pretty hard. So, yeah, we need people to be coming out and saying this isn't a good idea.
And the so-called idea, have they got a place, an area where they're looking at doing it?
Yeah, it's a place called Collinsville, so just a bit south of Townsville there is what they're thinking of. You know, there used to be a coal-fired power station in Collinsville. That closed down a couple of years ago, and, you know, I think it's safe to say that these old coal-fired power stations should be a thing of the past, not something, you know, that we're putting taxpayers' money into again.
Especially in the 21st century, there's other means of, mining or looking for power, isn't there? You there? Are you there, Shani? No, I lost Shani there. That's Shani Tager, her name is. She's Australian Marine Conservation Society, Great Barrier Reef spokesperson, and we're talking about the decision or the conversation that's happening at the moment regarding a power station out on the Great Barrier Reef, and we're talking a coal-fired power station, and AMPS, the Australian Marine Conservation Society, are not impressed with it, and they're going to push hard, lobby hard to put a stop to that, and Anastasia Palaszczuk, the Queensland Premier, is pushing that idea as well to put a stop to it. So, look, we'll try and get Shani back and continue that conversation. Very important space. And when we talk about the largest living thing on planet Earth, it is Great Barrier Reef, and it's having a lot of dramas at the moment with the situation with climate change and what have you. So, we need to protect it. I'll just go back to Shani. Shani, are you there?
Yeah, I'm back now. Sorry about that, Trevor.
All good. Thank you. So I'm just inquiring, what's the coal-fired power station to what they're talking about? What sort of harm could it do to the Great Barrier Reef? You there? Shani? Shani, leave me swinging there. Girl, what's happening? So we'll try and get her back and continue that conversation. Oh, gee, not a good one today, but this is your daily program, National Talk Black. You can try your luck by giving us a call on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Luck in the sense of getting through and staying on, not in the luck of sense of conversation. Open for the conversation by all means. The Bally One here, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, and we do go across the nation thanks to NERS, that's National Indigenous Radio Service. We're housed at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns as BBM Bummer Brit Media 98.7 FM. To Daily Mob, go to some news. Stay soon. Tiwi Warriors, that's the Letter Stick Band here on your daily program, National Talk Black. We'll just try again with Shani. Shani, are you there?
I am, Trevor.
Yeah, the forces behind the scenes. Don't like what we're talking about. So, look, it's, the question I'm asking you regarding the coal fire power station on the Great Barrier Reef, what sort of damage could it do to the reef?
Look, we're already seeing the impacts of climate change on the reef.
Exactly.
You know, we had those big bleachings in 2016 and 2017, and we're looking at some more coral bleaching coming up in the next couple of weeks. So that's when, you know, the corals lose their algae and they lose their colour and can die. So it's pretty bad news for the reef when it comes to climate change. And coal-fired power stations are, you know...
Won't help the situation?
Ways. Not at all. Absolute opposite, you know, they'll take us backwards and they pump out more pollution when we could be, you know, building renewable energy, solar, wind, that sort of stuff to create power. That won't have the same impact on the reef.
You know, and they call it common sense, but I don't know why they call it common sense when people don't act with the common.
That's it.
A very, very important space we need to look at. So where are we at with this so-called decision? I mean, it's got to be taken through the Parliament and decided on it. And that's coming from, that's federal decision, is it not?
Yeah, that's right. We're a little ways away. So at the moment, they're just scoping it out. They're seeing what's possible. They've put some money behind that to see if they could get it off the ground, but there's still a whole bunch of steps that they'd have to go through to have it built. So that's why we think right now is that, you know, it's a good time to say, let's rule this thing out, because otherwise they'll throw, you know, good money after bad in trying to get it up.
Exactly. And what can a common man, common woman out there can do to help prevent this from happening?
Look, I reckon it's always worth getting in touch with your local politician. You know, they're there to represent us. They sometimes forget that. So good to remind them and pick up the phone and give them a bell and say, hey, you know, I'm concerned about the reef. I love it. And I don't want to see this sort of stuff happen.
True too, Shani. Thank you very much for your conversation. All the best to you and your daily team. And look, keep doing what you're doing, sister.
Thanks, Trevor. You too up there. All the best.
Take care. Bye-bye. Beautiful yarn there. Shani Tagger, her name is. And, she's the Australian Marine Conservation Society Great Barrier Reef spokesperson, speaking for the reef that does not speak. Speaking otherwise regarding give us beauty, but that's about all, you know. Can't talk to politicians down at Parliament's Canberra head office. Not good at all. Have your say, you mob. Add to the conversation, 1-800-422-416, number you need to call. Otherwise, text the brother 045-714-0550. And otherwise, check us out on Facebook as well, BBM 987 FM. Your daily program is National Talk Black. I'm your host. give me a call. Too Deadly.
Baby, I'm just doing fine, knowing your heart's near to me. And I know when something's changed, your love will always remain here with me. Yes, here with me. 'Cause you're the only one I gave my heart to. Don't break it, don't break it in two. Yeah, it's a love that will last a lifetime. This love I have for you. From those times when we just thought it would end, our hearts had never strayed. In years to come, I hope we could say, but love had always remained with you and me, girl. Yes, you and me. 'Cause you're the only one I gave my heart to. Don't break it, don't break it in two. Yeah, it's a love that will last a lifetime. This love I
Mob, this is Tanya Kernaghan with Trendy Trev, and you're tuned in to National Talk Black.
Call us now, 1-800-422-416.
Yeah, that deadly number again, 1-800-422-416. Yana with the Bully Run, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from Nakari, your host for your daily program, National Talk Black, live here at the Aboriginal Torres Strait Radio Station here in Cairns, BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM, and we go via NERS, National News Radio Service. Give me a call. Let's have a yarn, your mob, 1-800-422-416. Going to catch up now. We've got Tony on the line, Tony Gibbs. Very good morning, brother.
Good morning, Baldy One. I'm the hairy one, eh?
Baldy One, hairy one. How are you, hairy one? How you going, Tony?
Yeah, I haven't gone too grey yet, too bored, you know. I'm sort of doing all right for 71 or something.
Good, good inning, brother. And you're still a long ways to go. How's your lovely lady? How's Donna going?
She's resting at the moment, mate. We're home and she's good. Been getting chemo and undergoing treatment. And we've had to sort of quarantine ourselves all along. You know, you've got all this coronavirus going along, but exactly. When you're having chemo yet, you're very susceptible to bugs and flus, so you,
exactly.
you have to stay away
from the mob at this point in time. Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I'm talking to everybody because I've been talking on the show for 20 years. We first come back from Canberra in about 2000. They were setting up the radio station here in the showground, and we camped with the equipment and guided it for that. Yeah, so, and then I learned to
part of the foundation. Part of the foundation, my friend.
Yeah, back when Kenny Ray was there, I think we was in the hospital and met his sister-in-law the other day. It's a place in the hospital. We meet a lot of people who sort of really being in touch with the outside world because we've had a bit of a hermit life up in Gosler on the land. And I better get to the point of why I'm talking.
What's happening, bro?
All the chemo in the hospital was good. Yesterday, last week, we had to go to Centrelink and got really brought down. I took Donna there and she's struggling and in pain sometimes, and we sat there and I was supposed to put in for a carer's payment. You know, like last week, I drove her to the hospital on Monday, take her to get her teeth out on Tuesday, chemo Wednesday, Thursday. So it's driving 5 days. That is, but I've been too busy looking after them being at home to put in the carer's payment. Mm. And then the hospital, a lot of social workers come around and can you help? And when you say, what can you do? And then, anyway, we went to Centrelink because we had to put in this carer's payment. Mm. And then it comes to Donna that this is behind the scenes, you were saying, and months ago, the job start.
For what, sorry? Job start?
A job start, yeah.
Oh, mate. Okay, rightio.
Yeah, and, you know, she's really sick. And they sent her this form for job start, but we've been too busy to deal with it. So she made the effort and went there. Mm. And said, we can't do job start. And we had all the doctor certificates, what she's got and everything. Mm. And then they wanted ID for her. You're supposed to be Social Security, Centrelink. And I hope they're listening because I'm really trying to make a difference here with what they did to us that day. And then they came, they wanted her identification. And the lady said, we won't accept her doctor's certificates, which stated her condition and everything. And yeah. she had her Centrelink ID and everything, and all their identification. And they wanted a photo ID, a driver's license. And I said, well, she doesn't have one, you know, it's not...
She make things difficult, don't they?
And I'm sure a lot of other people get this. But, and we've been here forever in this town.
Exactly. But there's got to be compassionate grounds. There's got to be ways of dealing with people when situations do change, and it has changed for you and Donna.
Oh, it's incredibly changed. I mean, it's the biggest joke of all. That all they had to do is call up the hospital.
Oh, look at the certificate.
They should know who we are after all these years living here and everything we've done, and to go in there and see her suffering and going through so much, and then they do this to her. You know, you're a nobody. You know, you're not. You can't prove you're you. And I'm sitting there listening to this, And then we have to go back. But before they did that, the carers, I had to remember what boat I came to Australia on in 1961 and what day I arrived. And Christ, the rigmarole. But I know.
Great grandmother's maiden name. They want everything, don't they? What was the outcome with it all, Tony?
Well, they said, come back another day and bring a packed lunch. And there's your punchline for you, you know.
Exactly.
That's what this woman said to you. I know it's getting late in the day, and they said, but I mean, all they had to do is say, right, it's a big mistake. You don't have to go on a job start. But that worries her. She's going to get her pension cut off.
Oh, wow. That's a kick in the guts, isn't it?
It's just so, you know, I've never wasted the show's time, you know. And we're sitting here watching, you know, we're not out of land rights. We're sitting watching Goldsworth Estate, the most inhuman rainforest invasion, being sold for $250,000 a block. And here I'm struggling to get an air conditioner fixed to get my missus to hospital, and the whole thing adds up to genocide. What they have done, and I'm just on health things at the moment, and I've reported a lot of health things, all the trips to council with her, 20 times I drove there, and all the things wrong with the accommodation. Yeah.
Did you get to fill out your forms as a carer for Donna?
Yeah, and I got a message back, and it said, oh, my form's gone through and it's been accepted. Oh, we had a pension yesterday, but I didn't see any extra in there. It's supposed to be 120 a fortnight or something. I don't know if I care, mate. I don't know, and it wasn't about the money, but...
them giving you the OK to be a carer of a person who can't do job start, well, that should cancel out her job start application, and she should get her pension, should she not?
Well, they shouldn't have put it on JobStart, you know.
Well, that's what I'm saying. The fact that you've been accepted as a carer for Donna, then, like I said, that should cancel out her JobStart application, should it not?
Well, you're true, that's right. Because we took her and her form there to prove she's you, because in the hospital after the blood contamination they gave her for Christmas Day, I had to go through all the Freedom of Information to get the files where it says somewhere in there, is this what you do to Aboriginal people? Because when they come round, I've learned about bureaucracy, and when they come around, they're typing out every Dr. Daly, but they're typing everything you say, they record. Yeah. So I've got all those records, or the last bad part, you know. Because I don't, you know, it's like they don't want to know this, because Donna's, I've watched the prime, everything that is wrong with health and the land rights, I've lived it with her. Mm. And it just goes, now she, now they won't even, you know, that's right. She gave them the form that I'm her carer, and it was signed by the doctors and everybody, whatever it was,
yes,
like.
Yes.
And then that should have been enough, you know.
But on the application that you put in to state that you're a carer, does it say who you're caring for on the application? Yeah. And it does, yeah, then you write her name, don't you? Do you not?
I think she signs it too. I can't remember every bit. But
well, that's what I'm saying. It should all marry up if we're talking paper trail.
Yeah, but, they, you know, it's not compulsory to have photo ID, and it's like they want to send you to the registry office, you know, in the hot sun.
You're an alien.
You're an alien. We don't want to do that. We're trying to protect our bloody lives, you know.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. Well, I'm feeling for you, my friend, and there should be, I don't know, someone you can complain to or someone you can talk to, a senior person.
Well, I've just complained to the nation, right, and I hope that Centrelink.
You have, National Talk Black.
There must be people out there that hear that they could, in a special circumstance, they could just send one of those, what they call them, workers home, you know, a social worker.
Yep.
We don't want to be invaded by people. We're trying to remain our privacy and our mentality and everything. But surely...
But the fact you had to take her in there, that's the other thing too. What's the process when you got an ill person? I mean, she's at home, she's on chemo, so if she can't make it in, what's plan B? Do they bring the mountain to the people, or what do they do?
Well, if we can't conform to them, and I don't make this call, and she doesn't go for job start, well, they'll cut her off, won't they? We're not in this for the money, we're just trying to get their health. And this... closing the gap scripts, mate. Oh, I could be a full-time health reporter. I know so much. Mm. This week I've had bills for $50, $30, for things, antibiotic, basic painkiller things, and there's all surcharges on, and the doctors don't write out closing the gap script, and we've got to change doctors, and gave her my doctor, and that doctor's not very suitable. She's got
enough. Sound like a bit of a chook feed, doesn't it? All over the place.
Oh, man, what an existence, but we're battling it and we're strong and we've got to be positive, and the only positive thing I can do is that we don't ever want to go back. It's human, basic human rights here of Indigenous people here, built on your dingy grounds, you know, in Cairns.
Exactly. Singing to the choir here, my brother. I'm feeling for you, Tony.
Yeah,
I'm
part of the choir, mate. I used to sneak into an army camp where I lived, and I used to have a choir there, and I used to sing along, and I used to say, who's that growling in the back? It was me. They kicked me out. I didn't even belong to the army base anyway, mate.
You got some humour about you, my friend. And thank you very much for your call, my brother. Listen, please do keep in touch. Love to Donna. And, get to the bottom of it, please, brother.
Yeah, I'm just saying, there's intense problems for local people, you know, that we drift in. And I know society, mate. Have a look what they're doing to Harry and his missus. I know how society shuns multicultural people. I know, we know. I've seen shows on the SBS lately. And they love giving us a hard time. It's part of, you know, that 5% in the hospital, 95% okay. And if you have all the other 5% people, we know are gremlins and behind the scenes, mate.
There you go, Tony. Thank you for sharing, my brother. All the best. Love to Donna. Please keep in touch, brother.
Thank you for the time, Trevor.
Thanks, Tony Gibbs. There is a chat there with Tony Gibbs and going through some dramas at the moment. Anyone can give us a call and add to the conversation regarding that situation. What is the so-called process when someone is sick and put in an application for pension, and then they're asked for ID and all this sort of stuff, and also given an application for JobStart? Well, how? The person's sick, they can't work. Please add to the conversation. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. That daily number here is 1-800-422-416. Yana with the Bullion, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from McCurry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. All ears for your yarn here on National Talk Black at the First Nation radio station in Cairns, BBM, Bumma Brit Media, 98.7 FM. And we go via NERS, National Digital Radio Service. Another caller here, we got Michelle. Michelle, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trev. How are you?
I'm well. How are you going?
Yeah, good, thank you, I think.
Good, you think? Only you would know, I think. Only you would know.
That's right. No, I'm good, thank you.
Good, excellent.
I feel for the, you know, compassion for Tony and Donna.
Yes.
It's very bad.
Very bad.
And, to have filthy blood put transferred into her. Oh, mainly why I called.
Yep.
With Bernice. We had Bernice's mobile number due to changing phones. I won't keep you long because you've got another guest on shortly.
Sure.
If we had Bernice's mobile number, if we could have it, mobile number again.
Sure.
Do you have it?
Yeah, you can do. I can't give that over air. So if you want a call back and we'll give you that number off air. How's that?
Oh, yeah. So when do we call around about?
No, you can call back and talk to the staff here. You can do that. Yep.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because they have it, don't they?
Yes, they do, yeah.
Yeah. How was your day yesterday with Buster?
Yeah, it went really good. Yeah, fantastic. Buster, he the man. Yeah. Buster Boss. That's his radio name. Buster Boss. And he does our drive time program for all our mob across the nation who don't know who Buster Boss is. And he's a deadly young black man coming up through the ranks.
Yeah, no, he's very good. He's very mature. Did you go fishing with him yesterday?
No, I think he went solo. I've got to go to the next hall of my sister, but you take care and all the best. Yeah. We'll yarn soon. That's Michelle there, Yarn Up Strong here in your daily program, National Talk Black. Add to the conversation, 1-800-422-416.
Say it's a crime drinking beer and wine. It leads a good man astray. When it comes to grog, well, I'm a fattycumhog. I guess I was born that way. I drink and roam until the cows come home, if it'll give my poor heart ease. I don't care who knows, I work for my dough, and I will spend it as I please. I was cutting the rock, they threw me in the jug, and as the magistrate looked down, he said, "Youngie duck, you're a wine-loving mug and a menace to this town. I'm gonna put you away, and in the cell you will stay until you learn more sense." I broke down and cried, I said, "My dog, all night, I wasn't worth 80 pence. I spent a day in jail as they paid my bail. They opened up the big hind door. I shook my head as I sadly said, "I'll never get drunk no more." I made a vow I'd give it up somehow as I strolled down the lane. Met a friend of mine, he had a flagon of wine, so we turned it on again. People in this town, they just run us down. They gave us a real bad name. We drink and fight, well that's quite alright. The gabbas do the same. After I'm dead, they're gonna hang their head, say I wasn't such a bad guy. I be feeling sad and I'll get real mad if they stand around my grave and cry.
They say it's a crime. That's Charlie Wilson here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Add to the conversation, 1-800-422-416. Yarnin' with the Baldy Run, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, taking right through 12 noon Queensland time. We're going to catch up a yarn now with Julian Lesser, MP, talk about the Indigenous Affairs Committee will hear from the National Indigenous Australians Agency, that's NIA, N-I-A-A acronym, today as part of its inquiry into pathways and participation opportunities for Indigenous Australians in employment and businesses. On the line, Julian, good morning, how are you?
Good morning, Charlie. Good to be with you.
Yeah, great. Thank you for coming on board.
You can probably hear a bit of the noise in the background. It's a parliamentary sitting day today, and I might get called in to vote in the chamber.
Sure. Okay. Well, Julian, thank you.
Warning about that.
Okay, thank you. First of all, electorate. What MP, what's your electorate there, please?
My electorate's Barara in northern Sydney. I've the Darug and Guringai people, the First Nations people of my area.
Fantastic. So you're talking about waiting to hear from the National Indigenous Australian Agency, NIA, as part of the inquiry. So where are we at with it, and what's your thoughts there, please, Gillian?
So our inquiry is looking at pathways to encourage more Indigenous people into employment and to start their own businesses. Mm-hmm. And today we heard from the National Indigenous Australians Agency give us a bit of an overview of the different employment programs that Indigenous people access. That's from programs that are specifically designed for Indigenous people, like the CDP program or particular wage subsidy programs, to just general job active programs. And we questioned them and asked them for some more information about how you measure the success or otherwise of those programs, and how Indigenous people's participation in those programs and outcomes compare to the rest of the population.
And when you're talking outcomes, we are looking for positive outcomes. We're looking for hardcore positive outcomes into job or career pathways or business ownership, yes?
That's exactly right. We're all on the same page there. The purpose of having the inquiry is to really work out what do we do to improve the Indigenous employment rate. As we know from the Closing the Gap report, there's not been a lot of change in that space.
Exactly.
So we want to see, obviously they're going to set some new targets, but regardless, the underlying message is the same, that we need to do more to improve that outcome. So what are the things that we can put in place to assess whether some of these employment programs are actually achieving what they're supposed to?
Mm.
Now, on the small business side, the story is very different. It's a very positive story, a very successful story of the massive growth in Indigenous entrepreneurship over the last decade. We are constantly seeing different Indigenous businesses in every sector imaginable opening up. We know that Indigenous businesses are highly likely to employ Indigenous Australians. 38 Indigenous businesses on average employ 38% of their staff are Indigenous people. Some of those are in businesses that would be regarded as related to culture. Others are in things from logistics and construction to stationery supplies, consulting, things like the general population are involved in.
And as you mentioned, all industries.
Every industry imaginable, practically.
Good. Fantastic. They're working in that space. I mean, it just shows the entrepreneur skills that we do have, and our mind is open, and the passion to be in business is strong.
That's absolutely right. And I think one of the things that have helped spur this has been the Indigenous procurement policy, where the government is looking to make sure that 3% of all government contracts are awarded to Indigenous businesses. And so you've got a business sector that's taken advantage of that. But what's also impressed me in terms of some of the roundtables that we've had is the number of Indigenous businesses that are not reliant on government contracts.
True,
that there in the general economy, and as you say, it demonstrates a degree of entrepreneurialism that we're keen to promote and support.
Good. No, that's fantastic. Watch this space, and look, it's time for First Nation people to rise in the business side of things, and thank you very much for sharing. Love the work that you're doing. Inquiry is very important, and keep doing what you're doing, Gillian. Thank you for your chat.
Thanks, Charlie. If people want to participate in the inquiry, we're about to launch our Facebook survey.
Good.
And people can go on the Parliament House website to the House Indigenous Affairs Committee and send us their thoughts.
Fantastic. Gillian, all the best to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. It's Gillian Lesser. His name is MP, a Member of Parliament and electorate down there in Sydney, and talking about the space of First Nation people in business or in the space of working for their future in the business world. And I think it's a fantastic idea. Entrepreneurs we are, and operating in all industries, so that's fantastic as well. And someone would think that a First Nation person would be in the corner painting didgeridoos. Yeah, we're talking all industries, fantastic. But at the same time, painting didgeridoos is a powerful industry as well, and strong for our culture to be out there. And people across the world are looking for those painted didgeridoos. So there it is. Whatever you're doing, you mob too deadly, get involved in business. And I always say we are business people. We just happen to be black. Have your say. Yarn up strong. 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with the Bully One, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. Jimbidi there, that's Nangara Mararuia Napra to Delhi. Yarn Up Strong here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Add to the conversation 1-800-422-416 with the Baldy and Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. Going to catch up. We were just talking about it. Bernice Kelly, my sister. Good morning.
Hey, how are you, Trev?
Good. We were just talking about you. All good, of course.
Oh!
You sound shocked.
Hey, listen, why happened? I'm calling, Trev. You've seen the news with the youth crime?
Yes, yeah, going crazy.
And everybody's up in arms and want to hang them and all the rest of it.
Yep.
Well, all I can say is you can feel that there's an election coming on because this is what they always do when an election comes on. They drag out this old chestnut, blame it on the kids.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, youth crime. Yep, yep.
You know,
and for the
I'm
person who fixes the space gets the vote is what you're saying.
Trev, they always blame the kids, but they're not looking at the reason why these kids are out doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them are living on the streets, they're poverty stricken, and they've got no hope, no dreams, no jobs, and, you know, the lawyers that represent them in court, you know, they're on big salaries driving their BMWs and their flash cars, and nothing's for them.
Sure, okay.
And, you know, it's look, I heard those kids on that news report this morning. And I thought, well, you know, they sounded like federal politicians to me. What I mean by that is I watched this the select committee hearing into the goings-on of Angus Taylor and fraudulent paperwork that he put forward regarding the Sydney mayor. And when he was being questioned in this committee hearing, all he could say was, no comment, no comment, no comment. Now, that to me sounds like these kids. They know the law. And by the way, I looked up the Justice Act. In 2014, they amended it. It was the most expensive amendment they'd ever done to the Juvenile Justice Amendment Act, right?
Yes.
They removed all detention, repeat offenders, they're not named, you'll never go to jail. And who drafted this legislation?
Who did?
Politicians.
Politicians. There you go. So you're saying that their decision has created the havoc that we're having?
It's deliberate. Why aren't they, as I said to you the other day, why aren't they taking that $3.4 billion in administration fees for the INDU card and pouring that into welfare payments?
Sure, yep.
You know, that's, like I said to you, $250 a week. If they can turn around and give a private corporation $3.2 billion to administer a pittance that you get from Centrelink, then why aren't they putting that $250 a week into New Start allowances and pensions?
So money's been spent elsewhere or not on the right right
and
situation.
And the money goes back into our economy.
Exactly,
these corporations have offshore accounts, and that's where this money goes to. The money does not go back into the community.
Yes.
It goes to shareholders.
Yep. So money's not going to the cause of the problem.
That's why this IndyCar is obscene.
Yes. All right. So there it is. Act on it. The government acting the wrong way is what you're saying. Bernice? I lost Bernice there. Bernice Kelly, got a bee in her bonnet there, and yarn about the situation. There's a lot of crime going on, especially across this nation, here in Cairns and Townsville. And there's something on Facebook the other day, and made the front page Cairns Post. About 8-9 young youths stole this nice, beautiful Commodore, and they were all just standing on it, giving the fingers, and stating the fact that. Yeah, we can do what we like, slap on the wrist, and we're out again the following day, and we can continue doing what we're doing. And what Bernice is saying there, money is spent in wrong places. It should be invested into these kids, who some of them haven't got homes and surfing couch to couch, or you know, they're causing dramas. Idle time, idle hands, devil's playground is what I always say. Invest in kids, get them up and run into their career path, and set a platform for them. But add to the conversation. Tell us what your thoughts are and how we can fix the situation here with crime, with the youth crime. Coming live from the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Radio Station here in Cairns, BBM Bumba Brit Media, 98.7 FM. We go via NERS, National News Radio Service, and your host is the Bully One, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from Macquarie. Now, Aboriginal Australian under 60 years of age who suffer from atrial fibrillation are three times more likely to experience a stroke than a non-Aboriginal patients, according to a new study of the University of Western Australia. We're going to catch up a yarn with Dr. Lee Nedkoff on the line. Dr. Lee, good morning. How are you?
Hi, Trevor. I'm very well, thank you.
Good. Thank you for coming to the program. Where are you based, Dr. Lee?
I'm based in Perth in Western Australia at the University of Western Australia.
All right, thank you. So with our mob, we are more closer for a stroke than our non-Indigenous counterparts, yeah?
That's correct. And our study particularly looked at Aboriginal people who had atrial fibrillation, and the risk of stroke for Aboriginal people was three times higher than in non-Aboriginal patients.
So there's another gap that we need to close. I mean, we're talking about closing gaps. That's very important that we fix up this space by all means.
Oh, absolutely. It is a large gap, and it is something that to at least a certain degree, I think, the risk could be reduced, and the gap could certainly be lessened or closed.
And what can the government do in this space, do you feel, Dr. Lee?
Well, one of the things I think is, first of all, people recognising and being diagnosed with atrial fibrillation, because it is a condition of the heart, an arrhythmia or a funny heartbeat that people can live with for a long time. So we do need programs where people are screened for atrial fibrillation so they know they have it in the first place.
Sure.
And then we do need a lot of input into people then having the proper medication to treat that irregular heartbeat, and that medication can be very effective and can reduce that risk of stroke.
So the medical attention there, you would say, would be very hard or not happening out on First Nation communities.
I imagine that it is difficult, and so I think we need screening programs that really are able to be put into those communities, and,
yes,
and perhaps with the health workers and people in the community to help people recognise that they do have that condition. And there is medication now that is much easier to take than it has been in the past, and doesn't need all the monitoring that it used to need. So if people get that medication, it will certainly help them.
Okay, and what about the testing part of it? Can our First Nation health organisations, can their staff, black on black, do that part?
Yeah, there are some sort of simple tests. Some are just as simple as sort of measuring, feeling the pulse. But yes. There's other new sort of technologies like apps on phones and things like that, which do readings to help detect that condition. So with the right training, those people would be able to deliver those tests.
Do you feel as though that's not happening enough of?
I think it's something that's just emerging. As you know, there's been a lot of studies around how good those tests are, and that's starting to come to the forefront. And good. It is emerging now that those tests could be used. And I think we could be doing more to sort of put those out to train people and then put them out into communities.
So we can step up in that department. So any money put into that by the government is a good investment.
Oh, definitely. I think that would be a very, very good thing to do.
All right. Well, the fact that we're talking about it, that's a start. Dr. Lee, I thank you very much for coming to the program. All the best to you and your mob over there. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Trevor. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Bye-bye. That's Dr. Lee Nedkoff, her name is, and talking about Aboriginal Australians under 60 years of age who suffer from atrial fibrillation are three times more likely to experience a stroke than a non-Aboriginal patients, according to a new study of the University of Western Australia. So a lot of money need to be invested in that space as well. When we're talking about closing the gap, we're talking about longevity for life, and that gap needs to be closed as well. And we found out earlier this month about the so-called seven pillars of the gaps to be closed. Only two have been closed, so to speak, or working towards ticking the box and making it happen, but five still long way off. And here we are, 2020, time to act, time to make it happen, you mob. Have your say, 1-800-422-416. Got about 8 minutes on the program, squeezing the call, squeezing the yarn, and let's talk serious. You mob, to Delhi, National Tall Black, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry.
G'day folks, Troy Cassidale here. You're with Trevor on National Talk Black. Don't move that dial.
Come on, drive it. Drive it like you stole it, son. Drive it. Strap on.
Baby, I'm taken with the notion.
Baby Baby, Amy Grant here on your daily program, National Talk Black. Coming to a close here, you mob. We're back in the hot seat again tomorrow with our daily number, 1-800-422-416. Only an hour program, but really daily program regarding yarns with our mob across the nation and all our concerns and all our good stories and positive stories as well in regard to this daily program, National Talk Black. And I'm just the host for the program. It is your vehicle steering you right through to 12 noon. And we've got about 4 minutes left there, but we've got one to squeeze in the call with Selwyn. My brother Selwyn, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning to Donna there too, brother.
Yes.
Tony Scott, brother. On Monday, I went to a thing at Parramatta for my 11-year-old. She's one of the leaders there, and the parents had to go. It was about 9 o'clock, half past nine. And on Tuesday, I went to work where Nico, there's a job club that I have meet conditions.
Yep.
Keep getting certain payment. But anyway, what the case manager done was, she arranged for me to I could pick any Thai college that I wanted, so I could be exempt from meeting those duties that the NICO required me to do.
Yep.
Because I am a single parent, and I'll be 66 this year. I'm retiring, brother, and I don't see any sense
in
getting a job too, brother. You know,
yes.
When we all together, I have other three at high school here, brother.
Mm.
And I told him, you know, like, it's hard because we get no men's shelter, and a woman will get help where a man can't.
Mm.
And I got to make this arrangement. But while I was in hospital, I think Francis Bowie was there. I don't know if he is actually a liaison officer. But it was good when Ada Tillett was there and Buddy Kyle.
Mm.
But of course, brother, you have a few guests at times come on from Woodchopper, and I think Tony's at a golf run. I think they've got a medical center out there. But I don't know, they have a few people they employed there, and I think they'd meet some of those requirements, like getting things working for Tony and Donna, brother. But this photograph, I don't know too much about the photograph, brother. So that might help in some way, brother. I hope I help Tony. But of course, I can't meet. And being a male, too, brother. Because of that Bill Leak cartoon, you know, like the male and black male not can't step up. So if for me to go to work and I have my, you know, sometimes I'm required at Trinity Bay High School or Parramatta. And,
for your children.
Brother. So I have to see these psychologists, whoever I pick, to be exempt from those stipulations that they have, you know, the NICO mark, you know, brother. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, my brother. Too deadly. And look, that's a fantastic job as a single father and once an alcoholic, no longer, and focus on getting his life right and looking, doing a fantastic job. But he does leave a question line there in regarding mob there, that space. You mob, got to say goodbye. Thank you very much for your time. Stay black, stay deadly, stay strong.
Say it's a crime drinking beer and wine. It leads a good man astray. When it comes to grub, well, I'm a fed income hog. I guess I was born that way. I'll drink and roam until the cows come home, if it'll give my poor heart ache. I don't care who knows, I work for my dough, and I will spend it as I please. I was cutting the rug, they threw me in the jug, and as the magistrate looked down, he said, "Youngy duck, you're a wine-loving mug and a menace to this town. I'm gonna put you away, and in the cell you will stay until you learn more sense." I broke down and cried, I said, "My dog all night, I wasn't worth 18 pence. I spent a day in jail as they paid my bail. They opened up the big hind door. I shook my head as I sadly said, I'll never get drunk no more. I made a vow I'd give it up somehow as I strolled down the lane. Met a friend of mine, he had a flagon of wine, so we turned it on again. People in this town, they just run us down. They gave us a real bad name. We drink and fight, well, that's quite alright. The gobbas do the same. After I'm dead, they're gonna hang their head, say I wasn't such a bad guy. I be feeling sad and I'll get real mad if they stand around my grave and cry. They say it's a crime drinking beer and wine, it leads a good man astray. When it comes to grub, well I'm a fair dinkum hop, I guess I was born that way. I'll drink and roam until the cows come home, if it'll give my poor heart ease. I don't care who knows, I work for my dough and I will spend it as I please. My name is Youngie Duck and I'll be cutting the rug until the day I